wheel rolling out of its own center. That's what the child represents in this mystical language. The human being has recovered that spontaneity and innocence and thoughtlessness of rules, which is so marvelous in childhood. The little one who comes up and says absolutely embarrassing things to the stranger who's visiting your house, you know, ask them why this, why that, the other thing, parents say, that innocence, that courage, that lack of response to the rules. Wordsworth, in that Intimations of Immortality Through Recollections of Childhood, shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. That's the dragon that must be killed, that prison dragon. And I think that's the child. Not the obedient child, but the innocence of childhood and the spontaneity and courage to live its impulse.
Do you have any thoughts on how we as individuals might get in touch with that child that lies within us?
By killing the dragon, thou shalt.
By not choosing to live by other people's rules?
Right.
Yeah.
Respecting them, but not living by them. Respecting them more or less in the way you respect the red and green lights on the highway. There are other rules which seem to be advisable. I mean, if in your own intelligence you see such a rule represents human decency or something like that, but a rule put on you as a rule, thou shalt not, is another show. And I think one can learn to take the courage. It also involves taking responsibility for what you're doing, taking the rap, you know, the buck is right here, I take it. And the suffering and not trying to throw it off if you have made radical mistakes and hurt people and injured people.
In the conversation which follows, we probe further into the realm of myth, discussing the richness of the mythologies created by so-called primitive societies compared to the barren mythologies of modern culture, the relevance of ritual, the importance of what Joseph called inward knowledge, and the question which, he said, we all must face, to what social group do I belong? Campbell argued that there is now only one social group, all of humankind, and we face a critical need to create a mythology reflecting that fact. This conversation took place in the spring of 1978, when Joseph was 73. One of the most exciting things about doing a live interview with Joseph was being able to afford our listeners the chance to call in and ask their own questions of him directly. You'll hear several call-in questions and Joseph's answers in this program. We begin with a deceptively simple topic, fairy tales, and our relative lack of appreciation for them.
Children, Joseph, fairy tales was a big thing. And somehow when we move into adulthood and maturity and all of that, we lose the fairy tale. What happens?
I think we lose the sense of wonder. Shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy, says Wordsworth, you remember? And he becomes a stuffy person. My wife, Jean Erdman, has a theater in New York now, and among the presentations are some puppet plays. Here's a puppet theater for children. And of course, these are full of fantasy, and they're lovely, lovely things. And the parents bring the children, usually the mother, and the delight of the children in the event often gives the parent the delight, too. They return to the childhood, you know, mm-hmm. and get into the spirit of the magic of the fairy tale. The fairy tale is talking to us about the wonder of our own psyches. Again, they carry the archetypes that are in the old myths. And it's the sort of inability to experience the myth of our own religion. Our religions have been interpreted to us in historical terms. The Jews did go through the Red Sea, and Moses did climb the mountain, and he got the law, and he came down, and he broke the tablets, and he went up and got a second edition and came down again. It's interpreted that way. Not the mystery side of it, not the event as symbolic of quests and all in the individual. And so, when the fairy tale comes along and doesn't have any actuality, it doesn't pretend ever to have happened, but is simply of the mystery kind, we have been trained away from receiving the message.
Yeah, it's almost like we use it, that's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
It's like it's not real.
Yeah. People who like true stories, you know? And so people write true stories that aren't true at all, and then people enjoy reading them, whereas if they thought they weren't true, they would be indifferent to them. Well, I think it's the loss of the ability to take seriously the images of the imagination and the wish always for the newspaper truth, you know, that weans people away from the sense of magic of their own lives and of these tales.
Yeah. How can we get back in touch with that magic?
Jake, bring the kids to the show. or read your fairy tales to the children. You know, or read fairy tales after you've read, let's say, a little bit of Jung, and just see how the whole thing is there, how they are realizations of dreams, how the motifs are playing. Bultmann, you know, the great theologian of just the last generation, speaking about demythologizing religion, my thought is it should be re-mythologized, not reading it as fact. When we read the legends of the Buddhas, you know, Avalokiteshvara or Amida or these, we don't read of those as though they were historical characters, because they weren't, and they never have been given as historical characters. We should look at some of our own mythological material that way and get the truth from them, and then turn to the little fairy tales, and you'll see that it's there too. I'm very much for fairy tale as the introduction to high symbolic systems. In fact, I did a commentary on Grimm's fairy tales that was published by Pantheon Books, and there I bring this out, that the backgrounds of the fairy tale are those of the myths as well.
What is the relevance of ritual in our life?
A ritual is the enactment of a myth. And by participating in the ritual, you're participating in the myth. And since the myth is a projection of the depth wisdom of the psyche, by participating in the ritual, participating in the myth, you are being, as it were, put in accord with that wisdom, which is the wisdom that is inherent within you anyhow. Your consciousness is being reminded of the wisdom of your own life. I think ritual is terribly important.
Yeah. I've been involved in some discussions recently with people of the Catholic faith talking about their unhappiness with the change in the ritual, that no longer the Latin Mass and that kind of thing, and seemingly very, very upset about that. Because somehow the mystery has gone. The mystery is no longer there.
It's been flattened out, I would say. But I was brought up a Catholic, but I haven't been to Mass for 50 years. I did go to the Mass of my mother's funeral and of a niece's wedding. And, well, all I could say was that I had lost contact. For me, one of the marvelous things about the Roman Catholic Mass in Latin was that no matter where you went, you were at home in the Catholic Mass. I remember as a youngster being in Switzerland, going to Mass there, or in France, or in Germany, just as at home as I would have been in my own parish church. And now with it translated into the local language, that Catholicity, that
yes,
universality has been taken away. Furthermore, the thing is rather flat. The English isn't particularly elegant into which
yes,
it has been translated, and the Latin was elegant.
Yes, right.
And also the address of the priest now turned around so that he faces the congregation rather than facing the mystery also changes the whole mood. It turns it into a kind of, well, one could say a Protestant social rather than a Gothic mystical a performance.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's an inferior performance. I'm saying it's not
yes,
the same thing at all. And if you are brought up to appreciate the mysterious, which is what the world is, a mystery, then I think you suffer a loss. Although I've talked about this with priests, and they've just told me I don't know what I'm talking about because I haven't experienced the modern mass as it is rendered.
Yeah.
So it's something I shouldn't talk about.
Joseph, I was reflecting on